Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. Scripture declares, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every person born into this world is born lost in trespasses and sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the penalty of our sin, Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now there's a blessed truth that is declared in God's Word concerning a people everlastingly loved of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a blessed truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've read this so often. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said in the first message, and the message before that, and the message before that, and before that, and that, and that, and Lord willing, forward, Christ came to finish the work given Him by the Father to save His people justly, according to God's good pleasure, mercy, compassion, that they might have life in Christ and be forever with God. Now, concerning those for whom Christ died, the Holy Spirit has set forth a glorious truth concerning those sheep, the elect. Here's my first point. I've got 3 points. Here's my first point. The promise of God concerning forgiveness. Here's the promise of God concerning forgiveness. I just read it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, souls made alive in Christ know that they are sinners. They know that they're sinners. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. They know, according to the Spirit of God speaking through the Apostle Paul, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that is in my members. We perceive by experience the force. It's a law of sin. We know it. We feel it. We experience it. That force of that inbred corruption that is working within us. It's a law of sin that is within every man, every woman born in Adam, but even after conversion, it's still there. The Lord has put away the debt of our sin, but listen to me. Sin is still within. That's what the Apostle Paul just said. And not only that, that law of sin demands obedience. It demands obedience. It's totally opposite to the law of God, that law in which a believer delights. But it is a law of sin that demands dominance. It's only by the grace of God it doesn't dominate. Sin shall no more have dominion over you. But it demands it. It still demands it. We're kept by the power of God through faith, and we struggle all the way. We just tore up all the time. A believer struggles. He sees himself. He knows himself. A believer loves the Lord. He loves God. He's like Peter. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You know I love you. And I'm telling you, he struggles. He struggles. He sees that sin. So here's the promise. To those made alive in Christ, those who continue to behold the presence of sin and they grieve over it, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen to what I'm saying and listen to the whole message. Don't let what I'm about to tell you throw you off and just, you know, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. But listen, because believe me, when I say there's a silver lining to what I'm about to say, there is a silver lining. But listen to what I'm going to say. When it says, if we confess, that is, assent, acknowledge, covenant, we're in complete agreement with. If we confess our sins, all of us will confess, I am a sinner. And that is absolutely true. But I looked this up to make sure I could back up what I'm about to tell you. If you want to run the references, I invite you to do so. I got this, what I'm about to say right now, out of Vines. It means if we confess, admitting or declaring oneself guilty of what one is accused. Thayer's Concordance says, confession of the committed offense. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's the promise of God. Here's my second point. The problem concerning my need of confession. Here's the problem. I don't know what I've done. Now here's the promise. If I will confess everything that I have done, everything I've done, He's faithful and just. And I mean, when I say confess it, I mean confess it with a right heart. If I confess it, broken before God, He's faithful and just. But I don't know what I've done. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 73:22. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Isaiah 59:8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. Jeremiah 5:4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Amos 3:10, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their places. Romans 10:3, for they, that is the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6, the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, but the sole of the foot, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. One might say, I can go back and read those again, and then you could say why I'm saying what I'm about to say. But you could say, yes, but all those verses refer to men before they were converted. It refers to them before they were converted. I'll just read the first one just so you can remember. Psalm 73:22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before God. You say, yeah, but that was before one was converted. Well, let me ask you, my friend, since you were converted, have you perceived the depth or the height or the breadth of our daily transgressions? Have we perceived it since then? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow. Now you may want to go back and read it in your book, in your Bible, and see what that word allow means. I allow not. Here's what it means. I know not. I don't understand. I don't know my actions. I'm not aware. I don't perceive the depth of my rebellion. I'm baffled. I'm bewildered. This is what he said. We know that the law is spiritual. But I'm carnal, so he was a believer. He's talking about that old man that's there in him. I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't know. I don't know the depth of what I'm doing. I don't perceive it. I don't know where the lines are. It's what I used to tell about raising kids. You know, we put restrictions on our kids. They love it because you set the lines. And that's where security is. I don't even know where the lines are. I don't understand the depth of what I'm doing. So, according to the Scriptures, man, before and after conversion, he is ignorant as to the depth of his rebellion. Not only the sins of commission, what I do, but what I don't do. I don't even know, Mike, what I should have done. Somebody said to know to do good and to not do it is evil, it's sin. I don't even know what I didn't do. What was I supposed to do? Well, you didn't do something. I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it. I was driving through a little old town here a couple of years ago. And I'd never been there. Glenda and I were going somewhere. And I was just driving, and when I came into the town at 45 miles per hour, I looked at my speedometer, and I try to stay close. And 45 miles an hour, and I'm just driving, we're just talking. All of a sudden, Pat, sign goes right by, end of school zone. End of school zone. I didn't even know I didn't see it. I didn't see. Gary and I experienced that. We were going to Louisiana one day. Going through a little old town in Louisiana. Waterproof Louisiana. All of a sudden, we get pulled over. We had no idea that we'd gone through a little reduction of the speed limit from what we were doing down to about 20 miles an hour, less than what it was. I didn't see it. He didn't see it. We just didn't know. But you know what? Guilty. I didn't know. I just, so if I confess my sins, everything of which I'm accused, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I don't know what I've done. Here's my third point. The prayer of confession that is accepted before God for my complete forgiveness. Now, as we consider this situation of our need of confession for forgiveness and our desperate ignorance of the reality of the depth of our sin, we rejoice. God's people rejoice in the revelation of the intercession of the great high priest before God. I think about that scripture on the day of the Lord's crucifixion, and there were those that were there wagging their heads, and you know, he saved others himself. He can't save. If y'all be the Christ, come down. We'll believe you. You know, mocking him, making fun of him. And the Lord said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. They know not. Obviously, there were some sheep that were in that crowd that was yet to be called out of darkness, and the Lord was praying for them. Because He said in John 17:6, I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest to Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they've kept Thy word. I pray, I ask, I request, I entreat, I beseech for them. I pray for them, for their benefit, for their advantage. I pray not for the world, but for those that Thou hast given Me out of the world, for they are Thine. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think right now, here's a group of believers sitting in this room right here, and we don't even know what we're doing. We don't realize it. We're wanting to worship. We don't realize that we don't know the depth of our rebellion. Our minds have wandered. We're so flighty and just, you know. Oh, the wonder of the One who has everlastingly loved us and stood for us and lived for us and died for us, that He prays for us. That He prays for us, makes intercession for us. Sheep that don't even know what to pray, but need to pray. Romans 8:26 says this concerning intercession. It talks about the intercessory work of the Spirit of God. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What He's saying is the Spirit of God lays hold to bear our trials and troubles and comes to our aid in our weakness and pleads in our and for our behalf before the throne of God with groanings unspeakable, yearnings too deep for utterance. So the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, makes intercession for us. But also, does the Word reveal the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as He makes intercession for us. We've read this before. Turn to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. I want you to look at it. Revelation 8, verses 1 to 4. Revelation 8, verses 1 to 4. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now here the scripture sets forth that the seventh seal was open. There was silence in heaven. That silence that reveals the respect that all in heaven possess for the Lord of glory. Silence and adoration for the Master. That's the effect of the solemn work of God's Spirit in the heart of His people. Seven angels with seven trumpets. Trumpets that would give the distinct sound of jubilee and liberation and freedom from those sealed objects of God's mercy, but also give the distinct sound of God's judgment and wrath upon the wicked. And in the midst of that solemn announcement of those trumpets being blown, here stands the Lord Jesus Christ, the intercessor, the great high priest of the people of God. And he stands at the altar of incense, that golden altar that stood in the Holy of Holies in the wilderness, that stood just before the veil that would be into the Holy of Holies. And that altar that set forth the intercessory office, that golden altar of incense, that altar of incense, that set forth the intercessory office of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, that golden censer set forth, and it represents the merit and the obedience of the Son. And it was by the Father's obedient servant, the Lord Jesus Himself, that God was honored and glorified and satisfied with His life and with His death. And so here's that golden altar of incense. And all that He did, all that He is, all that He accomplished, that incense that was put upon those coals on that altar, and that smoke that went up, that's the smoke of the merit of His precious blood. And so here's Revelation 8, it says, here's this another angel that came and he stood before the altar of golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And now, as he intercedes for his people, as he prays for them, interceding for them, he takes the prayers of his saints. That, Neil, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I try to pray for you. I don't know how to pray for you. I told you before, in my mind, I go down, you know. I mean, you're always sitting right there, David, in my mind. You, Mitch, Nancy, Mark, all of you. I, that's the only way I can remember where you are. And I'm trying to pray, and I'm thinking, I don't even know how to pray for you. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to ask. I don't know the depth of what I've done. I don't know what I should have done. And here he is now, the great high priest, as he perfumes heaven and he offers up the prayers of his people that they didn't even know what to say. And he takes the prayers and he presents them before the throne of God in the incense and the merit, as I said, of his precious blood. And he offers them and God accepts them. And here we are. Here we are, struggling servants of Jehovah, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, sinners, yes, saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Scripture declares that there is now therefore no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But while we're walking in this world, we're still spiritual Mephibosheths, helpless, lame on both our feet. And without Him, we can do nothing. Always in need of being seated at the table of the King and to feast upon Him who is our heavenly bread. Always in need of continually having our sins confessed, needing our feet, our walk, washed by His precious Word. And that confessing. Let me close by saying this. What is it truly to confess our sins? Turn with me to Leviticus 16:21. How are our sins confessed? I know we all struggle trying to, Lord forgive me. We just happen to think of something. We thought of something that kind of stood out to us, but here we don't know. We don't know. Leviticus 16:21. On the Day of Atonement, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. As the high priest under the law, Aaron would lay his hands upon the scapegoat. There was two goats. One goat would be slain and sacrificed on the altar. The other one would have his sins, confessed over that goat, and it was a scapegoat, and he was taken away. And Aaron would confess all the sins upon the scapegoat, and he would confess this all the transgressions. And now here we are, as suffering saints, struggling, and all of the hope that we've got is that now by faith, and here's the heart of confession. The confession of sins that we're not even aware. We by faith lay hold upon Him, asking Him, beseeching Him to confess the evil of our sins before the throne and to do so in the merit of His own glorious shed blood. I don't know what to ask for. But since He knows every infraction, every sin of commission and omission, He knows every one of them. Mark, and if He knows every one of them, and He asks, in the merit of His own blood, if He asks for God Almighty to forgive us, confessing all of them, He knows all of them. All of them are confessed. Every one of them confessed. He confesses all of our sins as our great high priest and does so in His own merit. We have confidence that Almighty God forgives us of all of our sins. All of them. Every one of them. Have every one of the sins of God's people been confessed? Every one of them. Every one of them. Not one infraction left out. Now with that thought, I want you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture, and I'll end with this. That is, without a doubt, now you listen, without a doubt, they are the words of a broken sinner. They are the words of a broken sinner, one just like us, one born in Adam that was made aware of his iniquity, and one that was truly confessing his sins before God, one that needed, though, his confession to be presented in the merit of the high priest before God. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 51 And as we read, I'm going to read Psalm 51. And as we read Psalm 51, I want you to understand something. That our Lord, who was made sin for His people, He was made sin. He became what they are, what we are, what all of us, all of God's people, He became what we are. And I want you to listen. You say, well, these are the words of David. Okay, I'm with you. But I tell you what, I could say the words of Marvin. I could confess what I know to do, and I don't know what all to confess. But I want you to listen to these words from Him who loved us, Him who was made sin for us, One who was made what we are. Here is the words, ultimately, of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of His people. And asking in holiness, righteousness, One that's worthy to be heard in His own merit, and God Almighty, for Christ's sake, does for God's people what only the Lord could accomplish. Listen to these words. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You can say that, yeah, but only that happened to David. Christ was made sin for us. Now here He is bearing our guilt and confessing what we need to confess in His merit. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build Thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar. I would desire to pray like that, and mean it with a pure heart, a sincere, pure heart. But every prayer that I've ever offered falls so short of worthiness because of what I am. Thanks be unto God. All of the sins of God's people, every transgression, every infraction, every one of them, has been confessed before God. And in the merit of the great high priest, God has forgiven them for Christ's sake. Salvation is by the grace of God. I pray the Lord bless it to our heart for His glory and our good. Amen. Gary.